Dean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. It's always our delight to not only present to you the issue that we're talking about, but to also have you join in the dialogue and the discussion on that. Our telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion. Going back to the previous article, I read the caption, the headline. Said the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine clinical trial did not establish that the vaccine's clinically consequential benefits outweighed its potential harm, nor did the trial establish that the vaccination reduced the overall burden of COVID-19 symptoms, let alone that it reduced person-to-person transmission. More than 5 years later, revisiting the evidence is essential if we are to avoid repeating the same mistakes when the next public health emergency arrives. As a result of that finding, Secretary Robert Kennedy, U.S. Health Secretary Robert Kennedy, this article reads, his decision recently was to terminate the COVID-19 emergency use authorization. Declarations invites reconsideration of the evidence that launched this extraordinary regulatory chapter. Ladies and gentlemen, let me cut through the verbiage. The only way that Pfizer and the other vaccine companies, big pharma organizations, could get their product in the arms of the general public was simply by having the use of anything else. Where that, for example, ivermectin and or other medicines that could have been used, they claimed that, you might recall, I watched it and absolutely was horrified over and over and over when Sir Anthony Dr. Death Fauci was interviewed on the network news. He would, anybody would ask something about ivermectin or 2 or 3 of the other drugs that were very efficacious in things of this nature, he'd laugh at it. Say, well, that's just horse paste. That was horse medicine. It will kill you. It's bad. Ladies and gentlemen, there had to be the move to say that there was no other drug. Hear me. The bottom line was, in order to get the vaccine in the arms of the public, there had to be a recognition or a statement or a decision by Big Pharma and others that there was no other drug that could resolve the problem. So therefore they did the emergency use authorization, the EUA declarations, which invited the stab to go into the arms. Ladies and gentlemen, as a result of that, and as a result now of finding the deception and the lies, for example, the general public, we were lied to about the efficacy, we were lied to about the safety, we were lied to about every aspect of COVID-19 and its supposed help for the general public. As a result of that, 1 million people in America died. Looking at the headline, Fauci's diary shows he lied to the public about coronavirus fatality rate. Former National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases Chief Anthony Fauci publicly lied about the coronavirus fatality rate, initially telling the public it was 2 to 2.5%, but privately recording in his diary it would be no more than 0.2 or 0.3%. This explosive revelation is found in Fauci's personal diary documenting his day-to-day duties in the early days of the coronavirus response. Senator Rand Paul, chairman of the Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs, released the diary ahead of Fauci's appearance before the committee. And it goes on to talk about how Fauci lied and lied and lied some more. Now, the bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, what should we do? I go back to a scripture that I think is fitting. Colossians 2 and verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. As conservatives, as patriots, as Christians in general, in those three categories, we need to be aware. We need to test everything that's said and done, especially coming out of the federal government. Listen, go back as far as the 50s. I believe it was 58, 59, or 60. Go back to the late 50s and following. Anytime a, quote, pandemic would come up, these big pharma would come up with some solution, some stab in the arm that's supposed to resolve it. In each and every case, especially for the past 50 years that Sir Anthony and Dr. Death Fauci has been involved in any part of that in the public health in the federal government, we've been lied to, deceived, and yet Sir Anthony and Dr. Death Fauci has made mega millions over the lies and the deceit. Did you know that he owns part of the patent in most of these serums that's been called the vaccines? Did you realize that Sir Anthony Dr. Death Fauci owns the patent on a number of other things dealing with Big Pharma? Did you know that during the time that a million people were dying, Sir Anthony Fauci was donated over $1 million as some special treatment that he had received that Senator Rand Paul brought out in his interrogation of Fauci? Fauci lied. Another headline. Anthony Fauci invokes the Fifth Amendment. The Fifth Amendment right. That right not to testify at COVID hearing called Senator Rand Paul unhinged. Let me just read you a couple of brief paragraphs in this article. It's right insightful. Dr. Anthony Fauci declined to answer Senator's questions at the hearing on Wednesday as to the origin of COVID and the government's handling of the pandemic, saying in prepared remarks that he would invoke the Fifth Amendment. In fact, he invoked the Fifth Amendment 111 times, ladies and gentlemen. May I say to you, there's a problem when we allow a person that caused the death of so many to circumvent and try to laugh at the political slash system, governmental system, legal system that will bring truth out and prosecute the evil. You see, civil government, according to my Bible in Romans chapter 13, was designed by God that the civil government officials would be servants of God. And as such, any decision they make should be that which honors God, recognizing that God is the one that they're serving. But we've devolved from that. The civil government was designed to prosecute evil and to protect good. We found that's totally reversed in the general thinking of society today. This statement in this article, in his opening statement, this Senate Homeland Security Committee, Fauci pointed to Paul's obvious obsession, that's Senator Rand Paul, and with calling for my prosecution, he repeated slanderous comments about me, Anthony Fauci said. The only conclusion I can reach, Fauci speaking, is that the sole reason he's calling me today to this committee is to get me to say something that could vindicate his repeated public pledge that I will end up, in his words, behind bars. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's where he needs to be, is behind bars. That's where he needs to be placed. And it needs to be, ladies and gentlemen, sooner than later because of what he has done to the general public. He's destroyed anything that would be called public opinion in a good sense about the government and what government's role should be and what is being done in society today. Listen very carefully. Dr. Birx, B-I-R-X, Dr. Birx, which was the sidekick liar working with Sir Anthony Dr. Death Fauci. I'm looking at the headline, Dr. Birx does damage control. She throws, listen to this, she throws Fauci under the bus after a disastrous hearing. From a White House COVID Task Force coordinator, Dr. Deborah Birx threw Fauci under the bus after former NIAID director refused to answer questions during his last week's Senate hearing. Dr. Fauci, the former NIAID director and face of America's disastrous COVID response, finally appeared under subpoena Wednesday morning for a Senate Homeland Security Government Affairs Committee. Fauci shut his mouth and refused to explain. Fauci unlawfully, hear me, this is interesting and important for where we're going in the future. Fauci unlawfully pleaded the Fifth Amendment 111 times. Dr. Fauci's partner in crime, that's what she's now being called, Dr. Birx, also known as the Scarf Lady, threw him under the bus after the hearing. During an appearance on Newsmax, Dr. Birx claimed that the blue states, listen to this, ladies and gentlemen, here's the key, this is the understanding, this is the underlying cause. Perhaps you're asking, what caused the COVID-19 pandemic? Who planned it? Why was it planned? Who carried it out? Why was it carried out? Why did so many people die? Why wasn't it rated as was in previous years the common flu or pneumonia? Keep in mind, as I've interviewed Dr. Sheftold so many times on the broadcast, and he's gone back and done the analysis, he says that prior to COVID being designated as COVID, there were about 45 million around the globe that died from flu and influenza that year, each year, the regular flu virus, as he would call it. And yet, after COVID was introduced then in 2020, there was only 1,500 people that died from flu and pneumonia the following year. So he said all they've done is rebranded. But this is the point. During an appearance on Newsmax, Dr. Birx claimed that the blue states overclosed and said it was all political. There were solutions, but it became very political. And we all have to be aware, because it was presidential election year, Dr. Birx said. She continued, it was really important for blue states, talking about the ones that are run by the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party, the blue cities and the blue states, it was really important for the blue states to show that they were taking this very seriously, and they overclosed businesses, etc. And we just have to be honest that this happened, and it was political, end quote. She goes on to say, last year, seven states accused Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx and others of heinous crimes, including murder, medical coercion, even terrorism stemming from the COVID-19. And then they go on with a list, ladies and gentlemen. Here's the point that I want us to understand in the final thought on this particular article. There was a referral letter outlining the list of charges that is being placed against Dr. Birx and Dr. Fauci as to what they had done. State after state, I think there's a total of seven or eight states, state of Florida being one of them, that's taken the position of filing civil action against Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx because of the death of so many. And it's not just those that died, ladies and gentlemen. It's the fact that hundreds of thousands of families had to watch their loved ones by cell telephone or through the window of the hospital or through the window of the nursing homes as they screamed for help, wanted their families to be with them, and died alone. You hear me? That's what America went through. But this referral list outlines the charges, including, listen to this, murder, negligent homicide, involuntary manslaughter, medical coercion and abuse, kidnapping, that's hospital kidnapping, human trafficking for forced labor, racketeering, operating a corrupt organization, and terrorism. Now that's some pretty powerful charges. And it is my prayer, listen carefully, it's my prayer that somehow, some way, that we the people might be vindicated, and as the victims and those that perpetrated the crime might be punished ultimately as they should be. I believe that it's an impossibility in the long run. You see, God's word says, be sure your sins will find you out. And I believe that as one Tennessee representative said, that he believes that Anthony Fauci is now facing God's divine judgment on him for what he's done to the public in America. I'm looking at a headline Josh Hawley destroys the liar Fauci for not even answering what day of the week it is. You've done more. This is what Senator Hawley says, H-A-W-L-E-Y, Hawley. You've done more to harm science than anybody in my lifetime, and I hope you'll go home and write that in your diary. U.S. Senator Josh Hawley, Wednesday, for taking challenge to Fauci for taking the Fifth Amendment. Well, quote, well, nothing says honesty like taking the Fifth, huh? Ah, Doc, Hawley said. Let's try something. What day of the week is it? What is your tie color? What color is the carpet in front of you? Fauci stood on the Fifth Amendment, on all of it. But here's the point, ladies and gentlemen, that Hawley, which, by the way, Senator Hawley, many do are not aware of this, he is a pastor, he is an attorney, and he's also a senator. Pretty good credentials, if you will. And as a Christian pastor, attorney, and senator, he asks some pretty powerful questions. And he says this, he states this to Fauci. Let's just get this one thing straight. You don't have any right under the Fifth Amendment because you've been pardoned. As you well know, as the Supreme Court has been clear for a century and more, Brown versus Walker, 1896, when he had been pardoned, he may not stand up upon his privilege. You know, do you know that? Do you want to answer any questions? It's because you did all kinds of terrible things. It's because during the pandemic, you got rich. Silence is the only admission from the doctor, Dr. Fauci. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a difficult thing, but I believe we need to understand what is happening. It is the fact that Dr. Fauci, Dr. Birx, and all of those involved in the, quote, scientific community needs to be caught, tried, prosecuted, and in prison for what they're doing. I'm looking at a headline that says the Attorney General, Utemeyer, that's state of Florida, says his office is launching an investigation into Fauci after the lack of candor at his hearing. Now, it started, I believe, with the state of Florida. And if I'm not mistaken, there are 8 other states now that have joined in. Each state filing its own suits. My prayer is that they will cumulative, bring it together, and have one class action suit from a multitude of states. See, the so-called Sleepy Joe, Auto Pen Biden, that supposedly gave the pardon for Sir Anthony Dr. Death Fauci, as some legal minds that I've read behind says, that they cannot pardon anything future tense, but only can pardon what has been done. Now, that's to be seen in the future. But the pardon, ladies and gentlemen, signed by the auto pen, and as Josh Hawley and others have said, if the auto pen signed it, Biden didn't know it. It was by some clerk or some administrative assistant there in his office that decided they would do that. If that could be proven, if that could be determined, if that could be ascertained, then that pardon is worthless, null, and void. But in the meantime, and that's on the federal level, meantime, that federal pardon does not affect any case that states want to make in order to clarify and to prosecute the evil, wicked that has been done. I'm looking at a headline that talks about the state of Florida. Dr. Anthony Fauci invoked the Fifth Amendment a total 111 times Wednesday, and under the Attorney General James Utemeyer, announced on Wednesday that his office is launching an investigation into Dr. Anthony Fauci following the contentious state hearings. Quote, Fauci's lack of candor in Congress is unbelievable. My office is launching an investigation into Dr. Fauci. It's past time we get to the truth of what happened during COVID, et cetera, et cetera. And it goes on to talk about the number of times that he lied and what those lies have done. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. One final thought when it comes to this portion in relationship to that which is taking place in relationship to COVID. Headline says, RFK Jr. explodes with the most devastating comments ever with CNN has ever faced on live air. CNN faced a ferocious reckoning for its failure to cover the COVID-19 pandemic and other health-related concerns as the U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary Robert Kennedy tore apart the network anchor Dana Bash live on the air. Quote, this may be the most devastating comment CNN ever faced on the air. Quote, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. looked Dana Bash in the eyes and accused CNN of abandoning its duty as journalists during COVID, helping to shut down debate and scare millions of Americans into taking the shot instead of following science. One explosive moment had Kennedy telling Bash, you're talking nonsense. You're making assertions you can't support. And then when I call on you and call it out, you tell me I'm arguing with you. Bash stammered back, let me just say, for the record, that I'm not saying the entire way that COVID-19 reaction was accurate. It was a scary time and people made mistakes, RFK explained. You are scaring people. You were scaring people. Both wondered aloud, why are you saying that? Because that's the job of CNN, Kennedy said. Your job on CNN is not to tell the truth, but to scare people, he said. Okay, stop, Dana Bash interrupted. Kennedy said, with what he said what was put on the Charons, that C-H-Y-R-O-N-S, that's the little crawlers at the bottom of the screen, you put it up every day listing the number that were dying just to scare the people to get them to take the vaccination. You were listening to the scientists, actually. Were you reading the science yourself? Kennedy asked. How, he said, the network was guilty of absolute press malpractice. Ladies and gentlemen, I couldn't have said it better myself. Kennedy said, your job is a fierce skepticism toward authority, and you weren't doing that. You were beating up on people who were dissenting, saying no. You called them disinformation, misinformation, and violated who they were as a result of that. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you recall it. I recall it day after day after day, where if you would go online and say anything, ask any questions about COVID, you were debunked, you were taken off the platform, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Doctors lost their license. Doctors lost their practice. Hundreds of thousands of those in the military were put out of military. People were in a position to either claim their faith and stand on no or lose their jobs. That was happening by the millions in America. How do you go back and fix that? How do you go back and put the milk back in the bottle? Ladies and gentlemen, we're facing today an election that's going to make the difference with the future of America. We have the millennials that for the most part will vote socialism, Marxism, communism, because they do not know what it means. They do not know the past history of it. They do not know where it will take America. In fact, the socialist, Marxist, communist agenda says America is racist. Say that America is a bad nation. They say that American people, Americans as in general, have too many rich people. We need to take away the mega millionaires. The socialist, Marxist, communist professors have told these in these universities, marriage is bad, anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-family, and anti-constitution mindset. So that's what we see today. It's been, how would you say, pouring the fuel on the fire of the fast track to socialist, Marxist, communism. As one of our callers talked about it this morning, we're going to find that November, in fact, just in a few days now, the general primary is going to take place in the state of Florida. And I challenge you, I plead with you, I beg you, vet the candidate, find out where they stand. For example, one of the candidates, his name is Fishback. Fishback is anti-Israel. He is anti-Semitic. He is one that is embracing the socialist, Marxist, communist movement. He is embracing the Islamic jihadist movement. And ladies and gentlemen, We need to understand, though he has high-profile ads, though he is doing major publicity, though multitudes today are prone to follow him, we must vet the candidates and say no. How do you vet a candidate? If that candidate stands against Israel, say no. If that candidate stands for any part of socialism, Marxism, communism, say no. If that candidate embraces any part of the LGBTQ sodomite agenda, say no. If that candidate embraces anything that would be called approval for abortion in any fashion, that candidate needs to be voted against and not embraced. I could go on and on and on with the, if you please, the criteria by which Christians, conservatives, and patriots ought to look at the candidate, look at his what he has to put out. Many of them put out just the surface stuff. One of the ones running for governor that's now in the U.S. House says, I'm black, I'm poor, I was raised poor, had a poor mother, poor family. I'm in Washington, like me as your governor in Florida, and I'm going to prevent Washington from doing anything. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to keep Washington out of Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, that's an absolute deception. High-profile Madison Avenue production, but that does not tell you who Byron Donalds really is. I would encourage you to look at his vitae, look at his background, understand who he is and what he's done, and not just vote based on skin color, not just vote based on the high-profile Madison Avenue ads that are on television. Our jeopardy is before us. We are responsible before Holy God to make the decision to protect our constitutional liberties, our religious liberties and freedom of speech, right to keep and bear arms. All of these things will be for naught and nothing if we're not careful. All we need to do is look at UK, the United Kingdom, look at Great Britain, look at London in particular, and you'll find there how the Islamic jihadists have come in, they've taken control, and they said 15, 20 years ago that Europe would be Islamicized. They would control Europe. That is true today. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, as we look at what George Barna said in the Barna Report of 2009, that by 2050, America would be an Islamic nation. And then it was rearranged, changed, reinvestigated. And in 2011, said by 2040, America would be an Islamic nation. I don't know about you, but that bothers me because it will destroy anything called evangelism. It would destroy anything called the Bible. It would destroy anything called Christianity. It would destroy anything called having a church. We would lose our liberties and freedom of speech, freedom of religion. So we need to be very, very careful. Let me challenge you. Let me urge you. Give prayerful consideration. Vetting the candidates and, Lord, what would you have me to do? If my people, which call my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14 applies, I believe, today to the Christian and what we need to do. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
FM, we talk about God's good news. You're listening to The Truth.
Why are you shaking your smartwatch? Isn't it working?
I'm just getting my daily steps registered on it.
Oh, wait, what?
I only actually walked around 5,800 steps today, but you know how you're supposed to get like 10,000 steps? Well, if you shake the watch, it reads that as steps.
Counting steps that don't actually count is the same approach people sometimes use with God.
You can live a decent life. You can be a good, moral, virtuous person, but that does not make you a Christian.
What makes you a Christian, says Billy Graham, is surrendering your